Pecan. Gluten Morgan.
I love gluten.
Yeah, I didn't think I could ever give gluten up. It's one of the best things.
I'd have to be like just shitting my brains out constantly. Just never stop. And I'd still be
good
like
morning.
Eating it as it's coming out,
what a
I think.
Thought. Yeah.
Morning. Hope you
what
had
an
breakfast.
Image. Yeah, I have not had breakfast. Thank you. Thank you for that.
How are you?
I am good.
I look a little pasty. Hold on.
I look like I've got a black eye.
Sure. Maybe.
How are you, pasty boy?
Do you have a black eye?
Oh, no. It's just this bad lighting.
Pretty good. I went to every once in a while, instead of going straight to work, I'm naughty and I go to a coffee shop and work a little bit and got a lot done today.
Awesome.
Feeling like I could tackle the world right now.
Hell yeah.
Rare.
Pleased for you. That's awesome. Off the back of that little coffee cafe session.
It all has to align, right? Like the chi, the cappuccino, the sleep, the...
Now,
do you watch Ted Lasso?
Yeah, of course.
I tell you, I'd hate to see you and Michelle Obama arm wrestle, but I wouldn't be able to take my eyes off it either.
Yeah, so the latest episode, I think this kid asks him, are you strong? And he's like, well, it depends if you mean physically or mentally and what my sleep was like the night before. That's so damn relatable.
I'm curious, if when you do one of those sessions, are you on laptop or paper?
Laptop. I used to be a paper. Used to do it 10 years ago. I'd do only paper, but now I'm just coding.
Coding all the time.
Focusing.
Yeah, I did one of those. I wasn't in a cafe. I think I came in here for like the kids are asleep. Came in here to get some work done. It was a couple of weeks ago. I didn't take my laptop out and I sat here and I just like worked on paper for an hour and that was so unusual. And quite
you wrote
delightful.
Code on paper.
Look, man, I'm not coding all the time. Not like you.
I don't understand what else you'd do. What were you making?
I was just working on ideas.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I used to do that.
Paper was good.
Once in a while.
Yeah. Remember that? Remember
those
feeling. Days? It is a good feeling. Need to do it more. I was chatting to a friend yesterday about the kind of the identity crisis of like, I still think I'm that guy that comes to work at 6 a.m. and gets shit done and like has this like creative playtime.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I just don't like when I still do that. And I'm here early now and I come in other mornings early or I come back late and hang out. But now I just stare at my to-do list and have a coffee or a whiskey and just like vegetate. And have
at 6 a.m. seven out whiskey.
Have a rest. No whiskeys at 6.
On an empty stomach.
Not in the morning. Oh. But I don't get anything done now. I just have a break.
Really? Yeah, I can see that too. My first things in the morning are usually like, I like to be here first now. At one point it was a thing and I didn't care. Now I like it again. I would like to get in earlier. It just doesn't really work to leave even if it's not my day to do the child driving. Still need to help. There's enough stuff going on, which I like, but I do miss being able to like be here for like an hour plus before anybody else shows up, because it's just like my brain, even if I'm like sweeping, you're like, this cart needs to get pushed over here, you know, like stuff that I don't really need to do, but I'm like, this is how my brain settles down.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that stuff. I love pushing carts around and sweeping and
I can push it.
Being in that space. It's nice. But yeah, just hasn't been happening for me lately. I've just been, I don't know, tired. Tired maybe, a bit bored.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I go in spurts both ways.
Yeah. I realized like this week has been... I feel like I'm going to jinx everything by even saying this, but like this week we hit the like the dream product mix that we've been aiming for so many years. Just had this like perfect run of web sales last week into the last weekend, and it was all just like spot on, ideal, very little customization. The team smashed it out of the park during the week, got it all done. There was a little bit of like bottleneck Thursday night because I came in and sort of just did a few hours getting everything ready for like the Melbourne delivery run yesterday. But yeah, kind of just quite a seamless week. Delivered 16 jobs in the van yesterday, all around the sort of inner north of Melbourne and sweeping down south side a little bit. Biggest delivery run I've done.
And a lot.
I was just like, yeah, this is the mix that this is what we're trying to achieve all this time. It's just like
just crying the whole time you're delivering every package with happiness. Like, this is the best. I can imagine I would be that way.
I mean, it was a very emotional day yesterday, for further reasons. But doing that many deliveries back to back. Like, I love meeting my customers in that context of like, here's your thing that you've ordered. And there's like this real make feel nice. You meet a new face, you give them the thing, have this little micro interaction. You do that every half an hour for like a 13-hour shift. And like, my dopamine levels yesterday were just like off the fucking charts. Like,
yeah, I don't even need a vibe code. I'm fine.
I don't need sleep. I can just do this.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
That was a good day. It was fun.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I don't get to meet too many. Yeah. And you've made the system that lets you organize your deliveries and you're checking them off.
So I love
every
that system.
Part of it's just syncing together.
Yeah, that delivery run sheet just gives me so much joy. It's so much fun.
Yeah. Anyway.
That was my week. Just kids were sick, so I was working from home a bit. That was the other part of it too. It was like, I just worked from home for 2 days very ineffectively with 3 children running around me, and we still got everything done we needed to do because the product mix was right and I wasn't stuck doing heaps of quotes.
Yep.
And it's like,
lovely.
Damn.
That is great.
Anyway, so I've just jinxed that. So that's fucked now. Everything's going to fall off a cliff next
jinxes.
Week.
No, you're fine. You'll be fine. Stick your head in the sand.
Oh, it's well and truly there. Don't worry.
I have had a similar... It's funny we had those weeks. We have 2 weeks off where we have no daycare, which is challenging, very challenging. So Aaron and I are alternating days to work and not work. And we've had a couple days of having a family member come help, which was amazing. But it brings me back to the days when we had a nanny share because it was the only thing we could manage for childcare. And I was just rehashing that with Gretchen this week. And I was like, that gives me PTSD to think about again, like trying to run a business on like what felt like 2.5 days a week. It was like, how do you work? When do you work?
Yeah.
I don't understand. And I think it was mostly the shock of how I wasn't prepared for that. But yeah. I suppose this is the time, since Aaron's already announced it, but we're having a second child. I've told him this. Yeah, a little less of a wild surprise considering the first one worked out. But, and we also know, because we can pick the gender, that it's going to be a little girl, which is new to my family, Aaron's family. Yeah, because we're an IVF
Gattaca.
Family.
I know, but I didn't know you could.
Yeah. Can you not do that there?
I don't know.
Yeah, you can. I mean, you got so many in the IVF bank, and then you can pick the gender. We didn't pick the first time with our son. Because we were just like, anything will do, you know, like any child after 4 years, let's take a child, please. Yeah. Any of them? And so they picked, and then halfway through, Aaron was like, I can't take it. And she had him send us the like a card gender reveal. It was very tame. We didn't do any big ceremony like you see on the internet. And this time we picked because we would like one of each. So yeah, going well.
Congrats. We're like, super cool.
Yeah. 20, no, I don't know how many weeks. 18, 16, something like that.
Yeah. It's going well. Early days going well. That's awesome. I just remember being on air with you when you got the message from Erin that like your first kid, like you had success. You
she
just
had
got some
kid.
Test back. And then when you got that like positive
yeah,
test back,
yeah, right.
And we were recording at the time. And I was
a
like,
blood test.
Dude,
was
dude,
it really?
Just go.
I think we had to get stop for a while. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, you know, what's weird about IVF is you know right away. It's even faster now than our first child where it's like, I think it was 9 days from the day they transfer to, it might be less. It's like incredibly fast
That's
compared
crazy.
To what you would find out. Might have been, I don't remember now. It was less than the first time though, so.
Woohoo!
Mm-hmm. So, that's the whole thing where planning here for and at home,
yep.
right? Like trying to figure out how children work in plural.
They're very compact. You can kind of put them anywhere.
Yeah, I've heard
I
that.
I find. Yeah. Laura was building a budgie cage with ours yesterday and had two in one budgie cage. So, you know, they're space efficient if they need to be.
But that's where you keep animals. I see. Yeah. That looks like. Didn't know what that was. Birdcage?
You don't know what a budgie is? Do you not have budgies?
No, don't know what a budgie is.
Get out. I can't just be Australian.
Oh, no. We definitely don't have those. Those are very colorful.
Budgies. Wow.
I mean, it literally says, when I searched budgie, I got a picture of a bird, and it says, Bird Vet Melbourne.
Wow. Okay. Does that mean you don't know what budgie smugglers are?
No, it sounds like something happened to your underwear.
Correct. It is underwear.
See well here? Done. See right there? It says Bird Vet Melbourne. Melbourne. I can never say Melbourne, right? Melbourne?
Say it again, Portland. Say it until you get it
say
right.
Say aluminum.
No. aluminum. See,
flashing my screen.
Are you watching?
Dangerous game.
Yeesh. Yeah.
Made a thing. Did you try out my little preview app? You have a chance.
No, I have not.
It's all right.
Which one?
Breaking. I made it.
MacCAD
preview.
No, I have not.
If you have a Mac, I made a little thing that. You can, if you ever use the quick look, or like you're in Finder and you push spacebar, you can like preview a PDF or play a song or whatever the file does. This will load step files, IGES files, STL, 3MF, and now G-code files. And you can like spin them around. You can zoom in and out. I've got some minimal...
That's cool.
Analysis tools to it. It does show colors of the original. It counts out, like, it'll give you, like, the size of it. You can kind of, maybe this is expected, I suppose. You can open it in Fusion with one click. It'll, like, instantly open from the preview. It's pretty convenient, you know, to be able to, like, instantly preview all your files. Really good for people that quote
public
things.
GitHub? Yeah, good on you.
It's an actual DMG file, so you can like download it and install it. It basically like loads into whatever the back end of how QuickLook looks at those things, and you close the app, and it just runs in the background somehow. Like when it needs it, I guess. It's not like an app that runs in your dock or anything. And then you can change the preferences. Like if you don't want it to open in axonometric every time, you can change it to be perspective.
Okay, yep. What word did you just use?
Reverse the
axonometric.
It's an architecture phrase, probably, or axonometric. It's like no converging lines, right? So it's like parallel, isometric, similar, I think.
Isometric, I know. Isometric, I don't know.
What is the difference?
Yeah, yeah. It's like 45 degrees rather than 30 degrees. Oh,
yeah, right.
I was, is that 45?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Cool. Right. Axonometric.
New word alert. Thank you. Yeah. Makes sense. It's quite an ugly view.
Anyway. I'm a perspective guy.
Aren't we all?
So anyway, free if you want to try it out. Or use it, I suppose.
I will.
It's convenient.
So other than making apps and applets.
That's all I do.
Been making any physical things, any steel bumps?
Yeah, we made... No, I've unfortunately been off my prototyping longer than I would like because we had the largest job shop job we've had all year come in, which was nice. One of our repeat customers, we're running through that. It's like the most plywood we've ever ordered. I think it was like over 100 sheets, which is quite a lot to fit in our shop.
That's a lot.
So we're just sending that out today when they arrive to send to them, and then basically the whole week of making that. But back to metal today, actually. I'm going to work on testing that product I was showing you.
Yeah,
today,
cool.
On the router.
Okay.
Got a little distracted.
Progress. How do you deal with moving through tasks? Like, at the moment, I'm finding that I'm really only doing the critical things, putting out the critical fires, doing things with external accountability of, like, I know, pick a name. Chris is waiting for the drawing for his file so we can approve that and get that into production. And then John needs that to keep that moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
How do you transition from like those critical tasks to like the non-critical but important, like your prototype that you're working on or
so hard.
Cell, like, I'm finding that really difficult at the moment.
I think that I did really well that week. I told you it's like 2 weeks ago, at least, when I told you, oh, all I've done this week, my goal, I did spend almost 2 solid weeks. I just finally was like, this is stupid. I hired Gretchen for this purpose. I'm not using the time as I want to, you know, we could be selling this product if I would have focused on it. And, you know, I get really frustrated with myself in that those contexts where I continue to like work on the firefighting instead of the thing that I really should be working on, which is those new valuable products. And so I was just like, I told them, I remember I said here, I was like, I told them both, I'm like, this is my top priority, is to get this stupid product, stupid in the sense of like frustrated that it's not out yet. And so that worked. And then we got back into making these, you know, production job shop jobs. And I completely lose track of progressing on it. And I don't know what, back to your like diary, you know, what did you call it? The diary, the dear diary, the time,
dear diary.
Time allotment.
Default diary.
Default diary.
Dear diary is
better.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, my excitement, why I'm so revved up this morning, it was I got so much done on things that we really needed to get moving on. We're having more and more problems with communicating and dealing with nuances with orders through the PDX CNC shop, that Shopify, that I just really needed to focus and get a couple things accomplished there and put into Rake so that we can like manage our orders better in one place, which actually got done, which felt great. But it's like, I don't stop to do those things, right? Like, it's like I wait till I think it's going to be like a 9 o'clock at night thing. I'll get that done tonight. And I just like don't, you know?
Yeah.
Probably shouldn't anyway. Yeah. I don't have a good answer. A whip.
When I was working at home the other day, my daughter, I've got like there's a tablet at home, which the kids watch stuff on sometimes. It must be synced to my work diary. Because it pops like work, like calendar notifications come up and just sort of sit there on the tablet. And my kid was like, hey, Papa, what's Project Viaduct mean? And she didn't know the word viaduct, but she was like, what's this? I looked at it. I was like, oh, that's right. That's like something I was doing for a while where like every Wednesday morning I would try and do like a 4-hour block on just like one project of just like channel all my energy into one thing, zero distractions as much as possible. She was like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. And it made me realize I haven't done that for a while. But for a little while, I did, like, I haven't had a default diary for years, but, like, I did have a little habit there for a while there of this Project Viaduct of, like, Wednesday mornings trying to, like, block and, like, dedicate that time to whatever. It was still at risk because it was still up to me to decide, like, what's the most important thing I should be doing right now.
Right.
And that's a bit risky, but it was effective.
So it was like a bridge. You were on a bridge over troubled water, you're saying?
Always, yeah.
Yeah, no, I feel that. Maybe we need to get into shaming each other again here.
Yeah.
Work maybe. On your viaduct.
Maybe that's the key. Public shaming.
Maybe I need to say it here. I still want to. I have not planned fully because of our summer took such a weird turn with revenue that I got a little freaked out and I was like going to book IMTS travel and lodging and stuff that's in next month now, I think, isn't it? And I still haven't. Wow. I still can. It's not like excessively more expensive, but then I was like, wow, what if I brought this new product there? Like, I don't know why. Like, I'm just going to be I guess I could show it to friends that are there.
Is this like trench coat like Justin good, again?
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It's pretty heavy for a trench coat.
Yeah, it is. It's 5.5 pounds with no other pieces on it.
Yeah, you're not exhibiting, right? You're just attending.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I could find somebody to like just set up for a day, like Pete did with his chatter, just throwing them up on machines. Go find, I could do that and see if I still haven't. But you know, it's like I'm always like, maybe I can make it work. You know, like maybe I'll just ask somebody. It's a good reason to get it done for to be public by then. I feel like because it's all but ready. If you know, I need to do some more testing. Need to. You know, we're nowhere near like a production ready process, but yeah, I don't know. It's not that far off. Like the idea has been there for a long time. It's just like tweaking things. So is this one I get patents for, you think? You have any input on that?
How many patents have you got now?
Three.
Expensive Definitely. To maintain?
No. I mean, if you have to sue. The maintaining is the protection, which I have not had to do.
Yeah. Have they been useful yet?
I think
I suppose
so.
You don't know.
I think it's
you
useful. It's useful in the ways that you don't have to deal with it. Mm. You don't have the instant copycats or... I think it carries some weight still that helps and creates, maybe I'm just telling myself this, it creates some like proof of life, proof of validity that it's not just a fly by night. Like if somebody's coming to it, they're like, oh no, they've spent time on this and it's not just something they made yesterday and haven't tested and...
Yeah, totally. I get you. Yeah, yeah. From a customer point of view, has that word.
Like a trust.
Yeah, and I suppose from a protection point of view, you don't know about how many times it's worked in terms of it being a disincentive for someone who might. I suppose, yeah, I don't know if it's truly a disincentive. Yeah. Like if someone wants to rip you off, they're going to rip you off. Patent or not, but
right,
maybe there's lots of little times where it has worked as a disincentive and you'll never know that.
Right, it's a bike lock. Right,
it's a bike lock. Yeah, Yeah.
Spike locks are useless for all intents and purposes, except for the people that are not carrying around a grinder. If you ever have the interest in if your bike lock works or not, just look it up. Look up the name of it on YouTube. You'll find plenty of people ripping it off in about 19 seconds with a grinder. So even the expensive ones, like there is nothing. I've never seen one that isn't grindable. It's like instant, so fast. Not even like Diamond Pit blades, like Harbor Freight crappy grinder blades, just right through it.
Yeah, battery grinders must have changed the game for.
They really did.
Yeah.
Didn't need to carry a gas generator around anymore.
No. We had some sculptures stolen in town. I say we, the town.
Already?
The town of Castlemaine. No, not Laura's.
Oh, it's like, good Lord, that was fast. What?
No.
What is this place you live?
Same gardens, like some bronze, really beautiful little bronze sculptures. Acorns were stolen recently. And yeah, like battery grinder at night. And there was another bronze sculpture, which they tried to cut off as well, but it looks like their battery just went flat mid-job. And they aborted. And we were chatting to like the bronze foundry in town. He was like, yeah, it's a real thing. Like it's an industry in that, like people going around cutting down bronze sculptures, and apparently they just get chopped up and put in a shipping container and sent overseas for scrap. So like there's no local, like they're not going to turn up locally. They're just like
resale
gone
market,
forever.
Yeah, that's wild. It's just thinking it's a really good opportunity for some like crude guerrilla marketing for like Milwaukee or something. They're like, man, would have made it if it would have had a Milwaukee.
Yeah. Probably. Burp.
Burp.
Burp, 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 burp. I don't know. Things and stuff.
The thing I mentioned earlier. Yeah. So the rake app that I was mentioning before, our like collection of all the little tools for Shopify. The thing we've been talking about a lot is there's too much complexity with, it's kind of like going back to the Airtable days, right? Of like things were cobbled together through Zapier and Shopify and all these little like weird scripty things that either break or don't solve enough of the problems. And so since we ship everything out of VQuo, there's like a place to write notes there for your team, timeline notes, right? Comments. There's a place to write comments in Shopify. And so we never really had like one place to keep track of like we would have picked one, but it doesn't really work, right? Like VQuo's only really good for the person shipping the thing. So basically I was like, well, what if we could bring all that into, which you basically have two, into one place. So this morning I had a little session where I call it the tip of the spear, where like now it all comes into Rake and we can get the profitability of each order, including the shipping cost that comes back in from VQuo after it happens. We can track issues, which we've been wanting to do, where we can track like, was it an issue with shipping? Was there an issue with whatever, right? Like customer had defect problem. And every time you want to write a comment, you can go into Rake for the order and write a comment, and it immediately pushes out to Shopify and VQuo timeline comment things at the same time. So that is always synced. So that feels like a huge win, even if it's like very basic right now, that there's all that data and it's easy for us to, I don't know, keep on top of it, manage, have one place for all that information rather than, I don't know if you deal with that or used to deal with that. So it feels like there's too many opportunities. Like, you know, did you used to put stuff in Airtable or was it in Shopify? Or if you needed to talk about a project, you know, a customer order, just very basically stop it from shipping.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's what Airtable was for a long time for us. And now, like, what Mission Control is. We're pretty slack with... So this is running as a Shopify app in your Shopify dashboard? So if someone else is in there, like if you and the team are in there, you're like, you're all just logged into Shopify and you can all see the same dashboard.
Yep. It uses your Shopify authentication.
And you've got individual logins for people. So it's everyone on their own Shopify account sort of login.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. I think we've always been so slack with Shopify of keeping it up to date. Like, we've completely fallen off the cart in terms of even like fulfilling orders in there anymore. We're just like kind of ignore it.
What? It's how, like, do you deal with that?
Well, it's all just managed in Mission Control, and I should set it up. So when we tick complete in Mission Control, it sends a webhook and fulfills it in Shopify. Yep. But Shopify is kind of a bit, obviously it's really just our website and product management. And orders come through, but those orders are automatically ripped straight into Mission Control. So no one's really looking in Shopify except for me when I'm doing web updates or want to see
interesting
sales for the week or something. Like, it's a bit of a still water at the moment. There's a few little things like those webhooks that I could do which would just keep it kind of in sync a bit better, which would probably be wise, but... we're just doing all of our job management through Mission Control.
So that's interesting that you can even do that. I know things are so different between here and there, but Shopify Protect, for example, that protects you against like chargebacks, and you have to fulfill, it says fulfill and ship with a tracking number by this date. As well as if you sell on Shop, you know, like Shopify Shop. Like all these kind of, and Facebook or Meta, like all those signals, even Google, it pulls in all your, like, are you fulfilling on time stuff. So you're doing fine without it, but I'm surprised that you haven't had more issues. Maybe it's just because of you don't need or use those things.
And
it's
maybe great that
you don't have the problems, but it could probably help you to do it, I would assume. But maybe it's just like a country difference. I don't know.
I should look into that. Because we used to keep the fulfillment status up to date. We've just really fallen off the wagon. There's now like
hundreds. Were you doing it manually?
There's now like hundreds of unfulfilled orders sitting there in Shopify, which have obviously been fulfilled and shipped and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I'm sure your dashboard can backfill it really easily if you just ask it to.
Yeah, I will put that on the to-do list for next week.
Yeah. One of the problems we have in the same regard is when we split a shipment, like we have a back order of something. So this has been a problem for like 2 years. And so I think we're going to be able to solve it a little better. It's really hard to identify between Vico and Shopify when you've split it and shipped it in Vico. It goes to the customer. We often get questions from the customer then because we haven't fulfilled it on Shopify where it sends them the tracking information via email. So it's like they go, oh, has my order shipped? And it's like, yes, it should have automated that process. And it will never sometimes fulfill on Shopify. So they'll never find out if their order shipped, even if it's like, so, and it's really hard to identify this as the Vico user. So another thing Rick should be able to do is like call those things out. So like Gretchen sitting here looking over everything can go, oh, either I need to do this or we'll have a button in Rake that pulls in or automatically pulls in that split shipment and fulfills it and keeps that up to date, because that has been frustrating. Just little stupid stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
Little versions.
Yeah. All the versions. Yeah, I don't think we have the Shopify Protect thing here, or maybe I just haven't enabled it, but it's not something in my dashboard at all that I can see.
Yeah, it is not available for Australian merchants. I see.
Cool. Phew.
So you just do all the fraud.
Yeah. All the frauds.
I would imagine one prompt gets you automated fulfillments though.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I've just got a bit of prompt fatigue right now.
Oh yeah.
Definitely backed off last few weeks. The last Yeah, I don't know. Really just haven't been building things, just doing little updates, or I've just been delegating to John and just me. Hey, how's your capacity? Have you got time to build this out? Oh, that's a good idea. Can you build that?
Your AI John asks AI Claude.
Yeah, so he's been doing updates in Mission Control this week, and he redid all the like customer facing like order sheets that go with orders this week. They look schmicko. I think John's Claude is better as a better designer than my Claude, I've decided. So I don't know.
Yeah, there's my
obsession this last week and a half. Did I tell you about the speakers? Those silly big speakers I got from one of my clients.
You didn't tell me you were going to look at them the last I knew.
That's right. That's probably when we last chatted. I was probably looking at them that day. Anyway, so I bought them that day, brought them home. They are as big as me, two of them. Laura's face when I brought them into the house, she was like,
gonna need a photo.
What? What? Where do they go?
I think I would have been stopped at the door. Where is that going?
And I was like, oh, just in the lounge room, darling. Just here.
Just on either side of the toilet.
And
it's in a sound palace.
I set them up that weekend. And so that was like, I guess, 2 weeks ago now. And I've just been completely obsessed with music ever since. And just like, I listen to a lot of music. I go through phases, but it's just like completely reinvigorated me of like, I have to listen to everything from scratch of like all my favorite things over the years. So I've just had this like incredibly nostalgic 2 weeks of just like remembering all this music and, you know, all the associations and people and, you know, that brings up. But it's been pretty delightful little thing to dive into.
What's your media?
At the moment, I'm just streaming from Tidal or Apple Music, but I just picked up the final pieces of the puzzle yesterday when I was in Melbourne yesterday, including like a 1992 TIAC CD player. From like the peak of CD player technology.
Spinning discs.
So yeah, discs this weekend.
Compact discs.
I'm excited about packed discs. Yeah.
How many do you have a lot of those?
Not heaps. I think, you know, I bought them in my youth and I probably stopped buying them about 15 years ago. So it's like, it's just this point in time where I've got a CD collection from and then there's nothing.
Yep, yep. Bunch of burn CDs is what I got somewhere. They lived in their trunk of our cars for a long time in containers, so they may be completely trashed. I don't know.
Hot CDs, yeah.
I don't have a way to play a CD anymore that I remember. I have an external hard drive or drive somewhere.
Yeah.
I got a cheap record player and some cheap speakers, and I minimally collect stuff I like. I just got the Sum 41 album. This is weird, real weird to hear on vinyl.
Yeah.
The one before that, I got the Biggie. I think it was the Best of Biggie. fun to introduce. A lot of it for me now is introducing my kid to music that he won't like it at first, but then he's like, he gets more and more. He really likes to dance to basically any music. So I really enjoy him listening to Biggie and dancing. That's
baby.
You know,
that's pretty special. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
Daddy,
same.
What's this? That's Biggie. What's Biggie?
Biggie.
Right up there.
Biggie. I can hear him saying that.
Oh my God. Look at your sound palace.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so nice. It's been so much fun introducing my kiddos do music too, particularly my eldest, because she's, you know, just turned eight.
Appreciate and, like, a little more.
Appreciates it and like wants to make playlists and wants to revisit her favorite songs. And yeah, it's really, really fun.
For sure.
Yeah. Bloop, bloop. I just sent you a photo of the enormous stacks.
It's a little hard to get. I mean, the laptop's the only thing that gives me scale, But yeah, that could rattle the house, I think.
Oh, yeah.
What are you going to do with them? Keep them there?
Yeah. The shop? No, they're staying in the lounge room. Absolutely.
This is where Dad DJs. It's the Dad DJ station.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Beep, beep, beep. Oh, that's something I did in the last week. Was I redid all my assembly instructions. Oh, well, yeah, 80% nice. Of them. The project stopped it. In Rhino.
Uh-huh.
With using the monochrome viewport. That was a pleasing.
Yeah, those are nice.
Dedicated. That was an instance of me just going, hey, this is important. It helps customers understand our product. I'm going to blow the whole day on this and not care about anything else. And managed pretty successfully to stay focused on it and just like
smash it out.
It was pleasing. I mean, it's once you get into it, it's kind of fun making those diagrams and drawings and things.
Assembly guides. I'm assuming
assembly guides. Yeah.
Wow. So you already had all this is 3D content. You just needed to export it somehow, right?
I already had all the 3D assets. The thing, yeah, I just had to make all the pictures, you know, set up all the steps and move the part around and then screen capture it again and drag it and move it and blah, whatever. The bit that stripped me out, which I haven't quite finished, is the hinges and draw hardware. I don't have good 3D models for, so like I haven't finish this project. So yet another unfinished project because I ran into the hurdle of like, oh, I don't have a proper 3D model for the like crazy little adjustable hinge with all the screws in the right place. And I can't be stuffed making that 3D model. And I looked at like, I can't find one online either.
You should ask if somebody has it here. What do you need? We got people.
You got people. Yeah, people listen to this. The, I don't know, just some like, what's some Blum hinge models? Blum.
Yeah, Blum. I might have one. Does McMaster have them? Oh, you wouldn't look there, I suppose.
McMaster. Yeah, I forgot
Blum
they have
hinge
models coming out of the wazoo.
Where did I? I might have those. I'll look. I don't know if I have the ones you want, but oh, I know another place. I think I can get them for you.
As long as they're generic-ish, like they don't have to be the exact model. As long as like the mechanism's familiar enough to make a diagram from. Good thought.
I think pretty sure they exist. I just have to think of where I've... Back in the day when I was trying to figure out how to make cabinets.
Remember those days? Those. Parametric cabinet guys.
I gave up on that.
Me
screw
too.
Those cabinets. I would say... Did I say this before? Did we talk about Fusion MCP at all?
You've texted me about it. I don't know if we've chatted here about it.
I kind of blew it off because it wouldn't connect to Claude when I first tried it. And I think I maybe just did something wrong and heard Saunders talking about it. And the key, if you're having trouble, is you got to have the Mac or the app on your computer and Fusion open on your computer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it looks locally at it. It's not doing like API stuff, and it is crazy. Like the thing I sent you, you know, I think I tell this to Ricky and Gretchen, it's like you just got to be like insanely curious. I feel like ask for things you don't expect it to be able to do. You just AI in general. I was trying to make a quote for a job, and I had done some arrange nesting in Fusion to see how many parts there I could fit, and that's a kind of tedious process to me to like make sure everything's there. You know, like, did it nest everything right?
Mm.
Is it all in there? What parts got in there? How many are there? And double checking to make sure that that's what the customer wanted. And I was just like, I wonder. And I like typed into Claude, like, hey, look at my Fusion file. It's open. Look at the arranges. Give me a readout in plain text of what was nested.
That's right.
Perfect.
That's what you're doing.
Perfect
yeah.
output of exactly what I needed. And I was like, all right. Also, you have access to this email and Help Scout with what the customer asked for in their initial inquiry. Double check against that. Came back. Yep, that's exactly what they wanted. It said this here. It said that there. Gave me some check marks. It's just like stupidly tedious stuff, or like I was struggling through machining some steel and I couldn't figure out what was wrong with my, I've always kind of struggled with the inspection, the like probing cycles and how they work. They're kind of confusing in certain ways. And it like took me step by step through. It's like, oh yeah, well, of course you didn't cut right because of this sequence of your operations. And if it probed here, it would have offset in the ways, the opposite way of you, how you expected. And I was just like, even asking a friend, like, this is so much harder to communicate to somebody else. Like, what, why did my probing work? You know?
That's cool. That sounds powerful. I did like the RFQ comparison thing you sent through, and maybe you were just kind of doing it as a sort of an exercise or like a trust exercise of like, hey, can I get this sort of thing right? But looking at that screenshot, part of me was like, kind of looks like busy work. Like, how long would it actually take you to just look at those file names and count the parts? Are you actually saving any time? But then if you build it into as part of a process, then great. I say they're valid.
I was already chatting with, you know, I had a thread open at that time working on that quote with like double checking some stuff. And but I get, yeah, if I had to like open it up and fire all that up just to do that, that's kind of silly. It was just kind of ready at my fingertips, per se.
Yeah.
I would say that's just a huge flaw in how nesting works too, though, is it's just really hard to validate what got nested and how many parts. Oh, and
so hard.
If you have a nest of, I think that customer had 8 parts, and when you try to see across the nests, they don't, you know, they stack. If there's the same sheet gets cut multiple times, it's just like, I can very easily make mathematical typos, right? Just and also I needed to put the, all those, I always put every part we cut and how many of each into the quote as text, so it's there, they can confirm it, we can confirm it. So I needed it anyway. I was gonna have to type it. It was like, well, if the part names are there, but yeah, I get it. Tedious otherwise, to if you didn't need it. I've had it draw some stuff, that and the Fusion Assistant, I've had it draw some stuff for me or correct some things. And tried, I just did some experiments with the Fusion Assistant, like, can it make stuff? Can it make reasonable drawing? You know, like, can I forget what I was even asking it. Some, like, oh, I need to make this part. Oh, it was our little cooling cart has a little off the motor, soft piece of PVC was coming up out of the motor vertically, and it had folded over, and I was like, well, I need something to support it so it doesn't smash. And so I described it in text to the assistant, and it got relatively close to correct. It got me a start, and it was really, I was mostly just interesting to see like, how does it do this? And it was kind of janky and really not good at making recursive edits. It kept making the same thing over and over, you know, like on top of itself and failing. But
did you then have a Fusion timeline that you could jump in and correct, or did you
a little bit
start from scratch basically?
It was a little, I think it was also interesting to see, like, you know, it's like watching somebody else model and you're like, oh, I would have not done it that
way. Yeah. What are you,
why did
doing?
You do that? Why is there a circle in one sketch and the next sketch is a line?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember teaching like 3DS Max to uni students and SolidWorks, and just like, yeah, having to watch people. I mean, they were learning like super early days, first year. But yeah, the watching people operate computers over their shoulder, still something I struggle with.
Right. Me too.
It was good watching Laura like on this commission over the last 6 months, because she just spent so much bloody time in Rhino. She finally started using shortcuts. And I was like, yes. Because prior to that, she was like,
right,
really like resistant to assigning any macros or shortcuts to the stuff. So every time I used Rhino on her computer, I was like, what do you mean you don't have D assigned to distance? What are you doing with your life? Come on.
D, C is cow.
And she had so much repetitive workflow that she finally got on the shortcut boat properly.
So she was typing out commands or clicking buttons?
Typing. But she would type the full word. Like distance.
That's better That's way better than freaking clicking buttons in Rhino, because it is so deep in terms of the panels and stuff. I don't even know where things... I have no idea where things are as panels.
No, me neither. Like,
I've never... I type everything.
Yeah.
Never. I tell Claude to type for me in Rhino now. Can you imagine dictating commands in Rhino? That'd be painful. No, distance, extrude, Boolean union.
That'd be fun. That'd be fun. Just gave me an idea.
It's an art project.
I'll get rid of my keyboard completely and just have a big button on the on my desk.
You're gonna pioneer a new input device that's just the shout box.
Cool.
Yeah, one for maybe next time.
Things and stuff. Yeah.
Cool. Oh, I know. Related to your assembly guides and something we're going to do with Rake is to, we already do this. We have line items in when you buy like a dust boot. One of the assembly items is that comes through the BOM that goes to this, the packing sheet is like a, it just says product guide right now.
That's right. Yep.
Which is there to remind Brookie or whoever's packing to put a product guide in. However, I'm going to change that so they're specific and they will have like a URL like pdxcnc.com/, and we're probably going to use like a short code like DBG, dust boot guide. And so that will live at that redirected URL forever. And so whenever we put at that place, will be the guide, right? Just like basically what you did, like you would just, you know, whatever your, but the idea is that it automatically gets placed on the packing slip too. So if we forget to put it in, they just go to that URL and it's always the live most up-to-date version.
But packing slip paper, how I put that in my computer? What are you saying there's a printed URL on the, like?
Yeah. Do you put, like, so, like, when we're, every order that we ship, we print it. We print a packing slip, which has each line item, what's supposed to be in the order. And so a line item would have, like, the product name would say product guide dash pdxcnc.com/DBG.
Okay. So,
specifically, yeah, we'll just make it shorter so they could type it in, but it could be dust boot guide, right? Like whatever you want that to be.
URL that's
it's
like,
it's just a URL.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just type it in. You could get into making QR codes for each. Actually, it's interesting. I don't know if it's, we do print little product images on the packing slip. So it could be the image could be a QR. I don't know. It has to be like at least 10 millimeter, I think, to print reliably. I don't think it's that big, but it's an interesting idea.
Yeah, that's cool. Anyway. So there's a checkout item, which is a link. So if you get, if, do they ever receive that digitally? Or it's always just a paper slip? They don't get an email
comes through.
Them.
It does. All of our guides should also, I have associated a download with anyone, any of them that has a download. So they get it when they get their receipt, they get, oh, you have a download item. Yeah, they can download a PDF. Yeah. But it could just as well be a URL in that case too. Because it's the problem with the download version is that's not, we don't keep up on making sure those are as up to date as the ones that are published, right?
Yeah.
So one source would be nice for all of it.
Yeah, that was my, one of my incentives was just like I need to clean, get, because my assembly guides were in Notion. So like when a customer clicked out to assembly guides, they'd end up in like a weird Notion URL, which is fine. It worked, but like it just felt weird. So just like hosting these new guides permanently within Shopify on our domain, clean homes for everything. So I can make new clean QR codes for everything. And then John's new order slip generator like looks at what's in the order and then like auto assigns QR codes to the order sheet of like, well, there's these products in this order. So therefore this customer is going to need these assembly guides and it only puts those in specific links to the, those bits. It's nice.
Right.
But I realized, like, driving around yesterday, I had this realization, like, oh, idiot, like, I've just made all this rich, like, customer-facing information. I haven't actually put it on the product pages at all. Like, blah. Oh, he's gone. That's the end. Bye. Oh, he's back. Ring-a-ding-ding.
I jacked my knee on the table.
Oh.
Phone ring? The phone we never use?
Is that a landline? A landline ringing?
Kind of. It's a VoIP. A VoIP. Yeah, that's interesting.
So yeah, like, so next week I'm going to hard link all those new assembly guides right on the product detail pages, so it's like front and center, because I know people look at them before they buy our stuff if they can find them, and it's just it's good product education.
Yeah, our first major version of that, and it's I wouldn't say it's a selling point. Well, no, it is. It's like people ask about upgrading, and they always usually ask, will you help us through installing pedestals? Because it's a fairly involved process. But what we've done is spent a decent amount of time making the guide really good. Like, it's got every step you follow, and we have it digitally, but also a printed version we include with like color printout and all the steps you need. And we send them a link to that digital guide. I always say, make sure you take a look at the guide before, you know, so you know what you're getting into. It's, you know, I try and never make it sound like it's easy. Like, it takes some focus is what I always say. And I think it helps convince people that they can do it. You know, that they have a visualization of, they're not getting it and going, what the hell? This is going to take me how long?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, it's so important too, I think.
It's hard. It's hard to keep up on all that shit when it changes. Yep. And are you getting the right files out? And so part of my theory was, whatever is at that URL, whatever is that, the /dbg is like literally where Ricky goes to print the physical one. Like, if we put it in the box, we just use that same URL. So where it gets updated, it's always the same thing for everybody.
Yep.
It's the goal, but it's not.
Yep.
There yet.
Yep.
Okay, I should go.
Yep, cool.
Good to talk.
Bye, banana. Good chat.
Bye.
Bye. See you next time.
And all this time I thought it was a bird, a colorful little friend to keep. But no, it's just a pair of speedos that made